me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies, and we're breaking them all the way down.
Hi, John.
Hey, Kevin. How are you, my friend?
I feel good. I feel pleased to see you with a fresh glass in your hand.
Well, I haven't eaten dinner, so things are gonna get dicey in the middle
of
this episode.
That's a heavy pour an empty stomach.
I'm a grown ass man. I gotta dull the pain from that fall from earlier. But anyway,
we're here to talk a little more.
What are we talking about?
The 1986 Stallone.
We can't call it a... it's something.
It's an epic 87-minute saga.
I wonder, so in the world of classical music, people like Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, Haydn, all these composers, people set about, because they were so prolific, they set about cataloging their works. And so it's like the BWV or BVW is Bach's catalog, and then Kirchhoff numbers are Mozart's catalog. These guys went and cataloged all of their works. I wonder
how does that work? Do they have his original music that he wrote, or is it someone's?
They go through all the manuscripts, and then I don't know if they're chronological or if they're date of publication or what they are, but then they assign them a number. So like all of Mozart's known catalog is like ordered. As is Beethoven's, Bach's, Haydn's, all these guys. And so you said opus, because a lot of these guys call it, you know, it's like whatever number, opus, piano sonata number 12, opus number 15 or whatever. Okay. It's like I don't know how the ordering works, because I blacked out in musicology class and music theory class, but it makes me wonder, you say opus, like, is someone eventually going to be like ordering Stallone's movies?
Order them in film
number 15.
In importance? Oh, no, you're saying they just like...
just like give them a catalog number. It's like in Stallone's oeuvre, will it be ordered in such a way?
It's
probably
also crazy
not.
To think about all those dudes. Well, some of them might have been more organized than Mozart, but like Mozart was a little batshit, right? But like...
Well, that's the thing is they just rattled off music and then said,
I don't really like this and tossed it out. And no one ever heard it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like they reckon that in the bombings in Germany during World War II, that dozens, if not hundreds, probably dozens, less likely to be hundreds, but that there were works of Johann Sebastian Bach that no one will ever hear
there was
or know
never
about
recordings
because,
made
because
and
the
not...
manuscripts were destroyed.
Wow.
Because they had them archived and then museums got blown up and that shit's gone forever. That's fucking terrible. It's like, what if the one song that if everyone heard it, it would have been like Bach, if anyone had it, it was Bach, wrote the formula for like harmony and humanity, but we never heard it. So we're all doomed.
They didn't have the cloud back then. Save it all to the cloud.
That's right. Well, we're not here to talk about the cloud or musicians.
We took a wide,
berth.
We took a winding route to work our way back around to Cobra.
From Bach to Cobra. Those two things have never been mentioned in the same conversation.
Oh, man. But
I bet Stallone would argue that Cobra loves Bach.
Well, why don't you catch us up a little bit on the plot?
Oh, yeah. So, Cobra killed a guy in a grocery store that was holding the grocery store hostage who claimed to be part of some sort of a New World Order.
It was like some Judge Dredd type judge, jury, and executioner shit.
Yeah, it was. We got from the very opening montage that there is some sort of murder cult with a very easily identifiable tattoo, which this guy had, held the grocery store hostage, but that Cobra blew the dude away, and said he was justified and that killers or murderers don't have rights. Whatever. And then, yeah, and then that was it. And then he heard we heard a news report saying that there's a serial killer on the loose called the Night Slasher who has killed a 16th victim. And that's literally all that happened.
Right.
Yep. There you go.
You're spot on, Buck, my friend.
Killed it. Nailed it.
So one bit of business we need to get out of the way first.
Yeah.
Is to acknowledge the fact that Cobra is a psychopath. Like, the character of Cobra is a fucking, like, psychotic killer with a badge.
Yeah, whether Stallone thought that he was just writing a guy with a quirk, like a super quirky guy.
I feel like it was the Dirty Harry, like, philosophy of, like, the people are ready for a hero like this who just is going to fucking take matters into their own hands.
That's very timely.
Yeah.
Vigilante justice.
Give
everyone a gun.
Yeah. It's like, but dude is psychotic.
Yeah, he's insane.
We've seen
should
the way he lives.
Should not be, like, if he was an actual cop, and if internal affairs is a thing, then this guy would not have a job. He would be in an institution.
Absolutely. He lives like a serial killer.
His apartment is sweet, but yeah, it looks like I said it looks like Beautiful Mind in there. It's like there's everything is wrong.
He's in there with all sorts of weird, yeah, just weird shit happening in there from his whole decor perspective. He had a dot matrix printer in there. It's weird shit. Yeah. I don't know. But yes, Cobra to me is an odd hero.
Yeah, he's insane.
He's as flawed a hero as I think we've seen in any of these action movies we've talked about. Because he's a fucking crazy man. He's a crazy person.
I'm trying to think of a similar hero in the genre. And Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapons about
Riggs.
Riggs is about the closest thing that I can think of.
Yeah.
Where that's he's just call. Like unhinged.
He's off the deep end.
But even Riggs, like,
you thought
had
it was
scruples.
Almost an act. Though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He didn't necessarily. He wasn't as crazy as he seemed. But Cobra is more crazy than he seems.
I would
if
say,
anything.
Yeah, Riggs has depression or is manic depressive. Whereas
there
I
was
think
a
that,
tragedy that Cobra, put him in a dark place.
Whereas that Cobra is legitimately insane.
He's found a job where he can kill with impunity.
Do we think he's a vet? And no, and this is no slight to veterans,
no,
but it's
no,
like
I'm trying
just
to think
Stallone. Stallone has such a respect for the veteran community, and because of Rambo, and
I'm
then
I'm
wondering
think of what
like
age. How old is Cobra? 40,
probably.
So he could have been a young man in Vietnam, maybe.
I just default to that because of Rambo and because of Stallone and the way that he
thinks
Vietnam of his
characters.
Well, Vietnam
was such a fucked up situation that it did leave a lot of people, I feel like, in a fucked up place after.
Yeah, and I want to, like, reaffirm, support the veterans.
Absolutely.
Support the veterans. But this is Sylvester Stallone, so we have
this
to.
This is
have
his
to,
version.
We want to leave no stone unturned.
Well, it's like, I mean, if you look at the Rambo shit, it went from Rambo First Blood, like a sympathetic portrait
PTSD.
Of a veteran who came home and was hated by people.
Yep.
When this wasn't
wrongfully,
his war, that he didn't ask for this.
Absolutely.
To Rambo 2, where it became like a let's fucking fight the war over again and win this time type mindset. And that's why
I asked the question, because I feel like that's all Stallone.
Stallone
I feel
had worked his way into this really right-wing mindset by this point in his career.
Stallone had bought the narrative that Vietnam, like, it wasn't our fault. It wasn't our fault. Like, and you know,
it was trickle down economics.
Make the V deeper.
deeper.
Bigger.
But deeper. Yes, we'll pick up on the plot.
What plot?
Of Cobra, exactly. The movie's going to start to take shape now that we're 16 minutes in.
That's okay. But for a movie that's only, what?
86 minutes. Yeah, we got 1 hour left of screen
time.
Yeah,
it's like, we got to go. We got to hustle.
So we pick up on a highway underpass at night. Mm-hmm. Got this cargo van cruising around slowly. Stops in front of a diner. We see there are masked men in the van.
Rocking
the pantyhose over there.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
What was that?
Raising Arizona.
No.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
So one of the men was oddly like playing with a comb, which is another weird touch.
I identify that.
I've done that, yeah, but like that's just an odd
thing to shoot.
It's not a thing to film.
It's very strange.
This woman is closing up the diner. She's walking out to her car. Doors open on the van. These masked attackers get out. They're wielding axes and sledgehammers.
Yeah, well, she like clearly notices. She's like, that van's up to no good. And like,
that don't look
to,
right.
Yeah, she's
it
like.
It was like reversing back towards.
Yeah, I saw the reverse lights were on, and she like starts to make a beat for her car.
So that's going to be a problem for her. She gets in her car, but the attackers start just wailing on the car and break in. There's that great shot of like the double-headed axe sort of silhouetted in the window. I recall that. An attacker with his big scary knife seems to kill her.
It's a very conspicuous looking knife, a very memorable looking knife.
I saw where the knife was like custom made for this movie. The filmmakers had asked for a memorable design. Apparently they got it.
That was probably a guy that Stallone had custom ordered a knife from.
He probably made the Rambo knife for him, or the Rambo 2 knife. I feel like the Rambo 1 knife was a normal sort of Bowie knife.
It was a normal Bowie knife with the compass on the.
And the one and two was bigger.
It's like a fucking machete.
It's an extension of my penis. It's got to be big.
I mean, everything he does is what he wishes his dick was. Anyway.
Cut to the morgue. There's nude bodies and body parts are just lying around.
Wait, did we establish that, like, it's pretty clear that they killed that woman, right?
Yeah, but they didn't show it. It was, like, off screen. But, yeah, we sort of like lunged
it's
there.
Like everything
slow
goes
motion.
Slow. Yeah, exactly. Slow-mo and her terrified face and the downward
there
thing.
There was heavy edits, apparently, to cut a lot of, like, super graphic violence out of the movie.
Which I kind of appreciate, because you don't really need to see it.
I think they got an X rating, and they had to cut a lot of shit out.
But
so did RoboCop. But you got to think, RoboCop came out, like, the next year from this. And if RoboCop got an R rating, you got to wonder how violent this shit was, that it was more violent than RoboCop.
Man, what is in Stallone's head?
Because
this movie is written and directed. Let's just
like what
it,
I read. I haven't
Stallone.
Seen deleted scenes or anything like that. But what I read was there was like legit shit where they're like cutting people like limbs off and stuff like that.
Oof.
So
okay.
it's probably for the best.
Yeah,
that
no,
it was all off
for the
screen.
Best.
But yeah, we pick up in the morgue. There's nude bodies. Body parts are just strewn about. That can't
bodies.
Can't be proper procedure.
No.
Just naked dead titties are out.
No.
So the coroner's explaining that the newest victim's wounds match the other night slasher deaths.
Okay, well, this is it. He says he's 90% sure it's the same weapon.
Yeah, okay.
But we have heard from the news report that multiple
all types of weapons,
silent weapons,
hammers.
And I thought that the Night Slasher was using lots of different kinds of weapons.
This is written by someone who didn't give a fuck about consistency or anything.
No one came through
and polished up the script. Like,
that's true.
Let's come through and like clean up the inconsistencies here,
nah.
Sly.
No.
It's perfect. It's perfect the way it is. I don't want to share a screenwriting credit. This is all me. But so
that is some absolutely true bullshit. It is true. Man, that's crazy.
So Captain Sears is there. He points out that there's still no pattern to the victims.
Wait, no pattern?
Well, not to the victims themselves.
Okay.
The selectees.
But there's similarities between the killings.
Exactly. That's how they know it's the same killer, I guess. But there's no pattern in who the victims are.
He's using a ball peen hammer, an air conditioning unit.
So Cobra is off to the side, toying with like surgical instruments, a bone saw, and like this other little weird clamp or some shit. He suggests it could be more than one killer.
Thanks, Dexter.
I'm telling you, Cobra is a fucking serial killer with a badge. But what the fuck is he doing here? Who invited you?
Nope.
So Monty jumps down his throat. Tells him this isn't your area of expertise. You're just trying to play
this
hero.
This isn't your specialty. This is pure investigative police work, not jumping through windows. Sick burn, bro.
But you got to wonder, why is Cobra there? Does he just hang around the morgue slow nights?
No, I think that Captain Sears is like,
come on down, Cobra.
Yeah, he's like, fuck. Well, also, he probably knows that he can't keep him out. He'll kill another cop. And he needs him. He probably does. Like, he probably brings in, like, his arrest rate is so high.
No, yeah, he kills everybody.
And by arrest rate, he kills people. Well, he was guilty.
He's guilty. I know it. I just know it.
Well, no one can prove that he wasn't guilty.
The Cobra was, yeah.
Cobra is go that dark. Cobra is the personification of the American justice system as the right wing wishes that it could be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Cobra says he doesn't care about being a hero. He just wants to be involved, whatever that means. Is this how police operate, though? Come on.
No, you can't just volunteer for a job.
I want to be involved
it's
in this
your
case,
case,
boss.
It's, oh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll put Cabretti on
we'll
it.
We'll put you
it's
on.
Fine. Okay, you talked me into it with that speech.
So as the men are walking and talking, Monty is telling Sears that letting Cobra get involved will be a big mistake. Monty says Cobra needs to stick with the zombie squad. They start throwing the term zombie squad around casually like that's an actual thing.
Yeah, like, no, I've never heard that term until this movie.
Apparently, Stallone got the idea.
People that work at night?
What I read was that Stallone got the idea for the zombie squad because there was a real-life zombie squad in Belgium who was, quote, comprised of cops who would go out at night and handle crazed criminals on their own terms.
Well,
what?
Number one, it should be comprising, because comprised of, this is a free grammar lesson for all you listeners. Comprised of is not right. It's comprising.
Okay.
Or comprises. It is the same as includes or including, comprising. There is no such thing as comprised of. Okay. That does not exist in any dojo. It is not in the English language.
So Stallone was inspired by right-wing vigilantes, basically.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
So, but Captain Sears concurs.
Fuck, man. What if all the alt-right...
just love Cobra, man. Cobra and Punisher. They love Cobra and Punisher. So Captain Sears concurs. Like Monty says, you're a specialist who does a job nobody wants. But we can't shake people down. Internal affairs will jump on us. Says... Cobra's like, well, if the cops have to follow rules and the Night Slasher doesn't, then the cops will lose.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like that's the difference between good guys and bad guys,
yeah.
Cobra.
Yeah.
That's the difference between justice and fucking revenge. Why do all the law and order people seem to be okay with police breaking the law?
Yeah, because the system's broken.
So there's this brief stare down between all the men, and then Sears and Monty go into Sears' office, and then Cobra and Gonzalez... go across the hall.
Directly across the hall. All of this place is like plexiglass see-through windows.
Yes, to where the shooting range appears to
be. Right there next to where everyone sits and works.
In the middle of the fucking squad room.
How can you get... I write and edit all day for a living right now, and I cannot fathom... like, with a gun range being there. Like, what the hell?
That shit... was
I guess it's because you hope that nobody's sitting at their desk, like, unless they're just filling out papers or whatever. But
and that was one of the most bizarre moments in a movie full of bizarre moments.
It would have been akin to them like walking through a clear door into a fucking car wash or something. It's like, why is this here?
It's like that makes less sense than if there had been a, like, the showers were plexiglass enclosed in the middle of the squad room.
Or if they'd
room.
Walk through and it's like, and the morgue was right there next to their desks and shit.
It makes no sense.
Okay.
The Cobra says he guessed there's nothing we can do but sit around and wait for it to happen again. Then he empties his clip into a target, fucking nothing but bullseyes.
Of course. And by it, we mean, like, we have to sit around and wait until the killer kills again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also seemed like there was, like, a laser scope sighting on the target that he was shooting, but his gun does not have a laser scope, so I don't know what the fuck was going on.
No one does. No. Stallone even doesn't.
Later on...
Stallone probably said, I want the gun to have a laser scope, but I don't want it to have one. What? In America.
In America.
250 rapes per second. Like, what? Fuck. He just... rapes. He did. He was like,
he savored it. Now, later on,
you imagine that VO session took 2 hours and it was just him saying rapes over and over again?
I don't sound horny enough.
Jesus Christ. That's also true.
Now, later on, the killer's cargo van is stalking a woman in a station wagon. I also felt like the movie has no shortage of cool cars.
Yeah, that station wagon.
Her car was cool. The cargo van, they weren't just like normal cars. I thought they were like vintage shit.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Agreed.
But at a stop, the van rear ends the station wagon.
Yeah, so they're underneath an overpass or something like that, and they there's a stop sign, and they like rear end her.
Yeah, they just slam into the back of her car. A woman hops out of the van. Some other men hop out like with weapons. The woman runs around and puts on this like valley girl sort of voice.
Well,
she mentioned
that the woman in the car seems genuinely annoyed at this minor fender bender and immediately rolls down the window we're going to exchange insurance information or whatever.
As you would expect.
But yeah, then the woman, which I was like, even on second watch, I was like, I blacked out and didn't remember this, but like that there was a woman in the gang that put on
it was
this.
It's almost like a puppet master.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. And it's just odd. But that woman is Lee Garlington. She acts her ass off. She was fucking swinging for the fences in this role.
Yeah, big time.
She was just like taking chances.
She killed it.
So the others surround the car and they attack. The main dude, that's the night slasher, Brian Thompson, kills the woman. I feel like this is the first time we really got to see his face.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most like evil looking dudes you'd ever see, right? So then we just cut to Ingrid. That's Brigitte Nielsen. Yep. She's driving along in her Jeep, passing by the murder scene.
Constantly checking herself out in the rearview mirror.
Was she? That's
just
probably real.
Constantly.
They're
just
probably
like,
just do what you naturally do in a car.
And she's like,
okay.
I can't stop looking at myself in the mirror because that's all she keeps doing.
With her fucking unbuckled seat belt is like just prominently swinging around in the background, and I'm like, fucking what?
Another
rad vehicle.
Yeah, that Jeep is awesome.
Jeep she was driving is fucking like Sarah Connor's Jeep at the end of Terminator or whatever. Cool shit. Also, I'm pretty sure that underpass where they were filming was a location in Terminator where Terminator crashed the police car into the wall.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm 99% sure, same location. But so the night slasher, he walks out into the road and stares her down.
Yeah, so he walks right in the middle of the street. She seems to slow to make sure that whoever this person is okay.
I think she thought someone needs help or something, like a breakdown.
And then she's like, holy shit, you've got crazy face.
Yeah, they locked eyes for like a good few seconds. Then she sped off.
She's like, no, thank you.
The bad woman was screaming for him to get the license plate number.
Smart.
Then the baddies hop in their vehicle. They drive off.
I couldn't tell if it was 2CO or 2CQ in 654.
Yeah.
But it's one of those two things.
Yeah, it was. Later, the police are doing forensics work at the scene. What was that weird art installation that was there? The statues? There was like four figures, four men. Like, just seemed like they were just looking at something.
Yeah. I have no idea.
I'm like, what
yeah,
the
very
fuck
strange.
Is this? But so Captain Sears is there, says the night slasher's daring them to catch him. We're all out of options. Call the bastard, he says. Which the bastard presumably being Cobra.
Yeah, but Nerdy Cop is still like, we need to dig in and find a clue. And like on
Monty, not a fan.
On second watch of this movie, it was like from get go, I would have assumed that Monty would have been part of the murder cult.
Which I think was in the script.
Yeah, but it's like I would have bet money that he's like doing everything he could to foil it.
Yeah, he's trying to slow the investigation down, it seems. Or he just really hates Cobra. But Cobra's not a detective. He's like a blunt tool, you know what I mean?
I almost wonder if he's on like the police payroll or if he's like an independent contractor.
Cobra?
Like, yeah. That's, yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah. They're like that they're like they siphon money to him somehow. He's like not even on the books.
So at police dispatch, we see that the evil woman from the gang is a police officer. She's running Ingrid's license plate number through the computer to get her address. So, oh shit, like she's a cop. But
okay.
Also, the timeline starts to get really blurry right now for the next little bit. So this is later on the same night?
Yeah, one assumes that she immediately
participated in the murder and then went and clocked in.
Yeah, went
for the overnight
shift. She washed her
or some
face
shit
and put her hair up.
Yeah, and went to go pull the graveyard shift on dispatch or something. Elsewhere, Cobra's on the roof of a parking deck doing fucking God knows what. He's like,
he is polishing his car. He's wax on, wax off on that 50 Mercury.
I feel like this is what the zombie squad does when they're not like executing suspected criminals.
Now wearing a full trench coat.
They're hanging around the morgue or they're pampering their cars.
In the dead of night.
Gonzalez is there snacking on a candy bar as they wait. Sears arrives with Monty. Sears tells Cobra, you know every sicko in the city. Shake him down. Do what you have to do to get a lead on this maniac. So Sears says if you find the Night Slasher, do what you do best. He means murder him, right?
Yeah. But then Monty's like, try not to waste the wrong guy. But
I feel like that's happened before.
But then what do you care?
Yes. So then Monty and Sears leave. Like, what do you think motivates Monty? Is he just like a hatred for Cobra?
But we should mention that Cobra says, what happens if I find the guy?
Do what you do
best.
And
they're like, just... And they're like,
well, that's what I'm saying. That means like, kill him, right?
It's like, just make it look like he fired first. What?
Basically. What?
Every cop in this movie is crooked, except for maybe Gonzalez. But even Gonzalez is like going along with all this.
What do you think, in your opinion, what motivates Monty? I'm trying to climb for the top. I'm trying to hamstring the investigation.
I hate Cobra. I think that it's that, like you were saying, he wants to be celebrity cop that's out in front of the media.
I want to be the chief one day.
He wants to be in Tango and Cash. Monty wants to be Tango and Monty. I feel honestly,
like one could make the argument that he just wants to see shit done by the books. Because that's all he seems to be arguing.
Let's just follow
the fucking Constitution. No, we don't like that.
You fucking pussy? Are you crazy? We can't do that.
Uh-huh. So Gonzalez speaks up. You know, when this is over, I'd like to celebrate by punching a hole in Monty's chest. I love that line. I love Gonzalez in general. He's like my favorite character probably because he's the one I'd want to have a beer with.
He's the only one that's a character.
Yeah. Then Cobra responds, you know what the trouble with you is? You're too violent. It's fucking odd.
That delivery sucks.
Attempted a joke, whatever. Cobra's starts then to criticize Gonzalez's diet of junk food.
He attributes Gonzalez's alleged lust for violence to his sugar intake and suggests he should try something natural like prunes, raisins, fish and rice.
This is coming from a fucker who's at home
eating
pizza with scissors.
What? Like, and this is where, like, first blatantly it occurred to me is like, what is Cobra supposed to be? Is he a badass? Is he funny? Is he crazy? Like, it's no rhyme or reason to anything.
There's no coherence to his character just from one scene to the next. It also, though, reminded me of Tango and Cash where Tango seemed obsessed with other people's diet and what other people were eating. I think it's Stallone, and that's what comes to mind when he's writing.
He's like,
I would criticize him eating a candy bar.
Okay.
It's like,
and then no one said, Sly?
Your character's at home eating pizza.
He only ate the tip of the pizza.
He ate one quarter of one slice a day. That's his diet.
He ate the quarter of the pizza, which means he was getting 450 calories for dinner, which is less than the recommended amount by the, like, oh my God. Yeah, he's insane.
So the two, Cobra and Gonzalez, they get in their respective cars, they drive off. Cut to fucking the weirdest shit that's ever been put on film.
It is so weird.
There's this montage that's essentially a music video for Robert Tepper's song Angel of the City.
And if you haven't heard it, continue not hearing it.
Yeah, it's trash.
But Slow probably loved it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
But how did he hear it?
He loves that easy listening shit.
Did he have someone in the record industry being like, Sly, you got to hear this song. This guy is fucking killing it. Robert Tepper.
You know who Angel was putting him on all this shit was probably fucking Frank Stallone.
That's
who was
true.
Doing similar type
That's
music.
That's true. Good call.
You got to put my friend Robert on the soundtrack.
Maybe I would be interested in going back and seeing if Frank Stallone was like a producer on the track or something.
Yeah, I don't think Frank popped up on this soundtrack as an artist, but
he pops up
on a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh my God, this song fucking it fucks so hard.
So now we see Ingrid. She's modeling for this photo shoot in a room full of fucking robots.
Yeah, so yeah, we see all these shots of Cobra and Gonzalez cruising the streets, working their sources for info.
Which is weird because We just saw them drive off separately.
Well, now they're canvassing scenes. We're going to meet in the same spot. We're going to meet in the same parking lot. But yeah, they're talking to homeless people, which is all that footage intercut with footage of Ingrid modeling with these robots for some reason.
The most bizarre photo shoot in history. Although you got to say Brigitte was like stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
She was an all-time looker. But yeah.
It's also intercut with like shots of Night Slasher in his lair.
Doing what the fuck he does. Like
banging axes.
Sharpening knives. But yeah, there's all these scenes of despair from the city. This shit goes on for 3.5 minutes in a movie that's 83 minutes long.
Frequent wardrobe and wig changes for Brigitte.
Including, we see Brigitte with her, like, sporting her natural short hair, mm-hmm. which is clearly her real hair,
mm-hmm.
which begs the question, is Ingrid wearing a wig in her day-to-day life?
I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, and hopefully they're not listening, but my across-the-street neighbor wears mad extensions all day, every day.
Okay.
It's one thing to have
extensions. It's another thing to have like a curly wig that you wear driving your car around. But she's a model. Who knows what the fuck's going on with her.
But also it's like Cobra and Gonzalez hitting every neighborhood in town. Cobra's gun hanging out of his jeans the entire time. Like that's not inviting anyone to like talk.
Also, why was one of the robots wearing a goddamn fur coat? It's like one of those mink coats where like the mink's body is like still on at the head.
Why is the Night Slasher? Why doesn't he know how to sharpen a knife?
We wonder. This is all happening over what span of time?
Simultaneously.
But like, is this? So the Night Slasher, we see him walking around with the knife with the pantyhose on, walking around without the pantyhose on his head. He's at home sharpening the knife. Is this all happening in like a 30-minute span?
Maybe so, but like he doesn't know how to sharpen a knife.
Is that he's doing it wrong?
He is dulling
the
knife.
It's on the whetstone?
Which is like just dragging the blade straight across the thing instead of like cutting it across at an angle. It's like he's making the blade worse. Maybe that's the point. Maybe he wants it to hurt more. It's dull, you twit.
Cobra and Gonzalez, they seem to be hitting every neighborhood in town. They're not getting anywhere.
Right.
They're in this tattoo parlor, but they don't know anything about the cult tattoo that we are aware of. So I don't know why they're in there.
But that's another bit of trivia is that they should have like looked over that body. Why didn't they show anyone like looking over that body
in the grocery store?
Yeah, the grocery store killer.
Well, they wouldn't think he was connected because.
But at that point, check out the tattoo. Cobra would.
He's
Cobra,
got it.
Yeah, why not?
It could be connected. Who the fuck knows? At this point.
We also need to mention that Cobra and Gonzalez walk into a bar, and Cobra just manhandles the black bartender.
I went right over that. Yeah, Cobra gets rough with this black bartender for no apparent reason.
It's the first time in the whole, like, this whole interrogation sequence that he just walks into a place and grabs a black dude.
Grabs the dude. Again, felt borderline, like, racist shit.
Yep.
But, yeah, then as the song winds down, the lights in the photo studio, they turn off. We see the one evil robot, I guess.
Yeah.
His lights are glowing, and there's an ominous music playing.
I guess
playing.
That's just supposed to be, like, some shit's something? About to go down. Yeah, I think it's just supposed to, like, set the stage for what's about to happen.
A sense of dread.
Yeah, it's exactly. Stallone probably was like, now the robot.
He had a thing for robots, didn't he?
At the time, yeah. It's like, so
robots
Rocky,
are the future.
Rocky IV, this movie, it's like, what? Do you think he was, like, he wishes, like, he wishes so hard that he had been the Terminator. Do you think that's what it is?
I think he missed out on being Terminator for real. He would have fucking wrecked that movie.
It would have been terrible because he was like, well, he needs more lines. He's a robot, you cock. He doesn't talk. We need more lines.
Now, we go to the parking garage. The Night Slasher's van is there waiting. How did they find her? At the photo shoot.
Well, that's a great question. And I had the same question.
Crazy
cult lady only knew where
her
the home
address
would be. So unless she has a roommate that was like, no, she's at work or something like that.
I guess they could have sent she was in uniform. Maybe she stopped by and was like, where's Ingrid?
But
she's at this photo shoot.
That assumes that anyone is there.
You have to show that. If she's a successful model, she doesn't need a roommate.
No.
But
we're also
we're making excuses for Stallone
via
here.
Via the next scene, we get that she's like right on the cusp of becoming a big
star.
Model. Yeah.
So yeah. Ingrid and the photographer, they're exiting the parking garage elevator.
That's David Rash or Rashi. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but he's in so many things. But most recently, people would recognize him as playing Carl on Succession that works for the company. He's played the same character nonstop for 30 years. Like, just this sort of like...
generally sleazy?
Yeah, just a sleaze. Like,
that's awesome.
Bottom feeder climbing to the top.
So... the photographer sort of gives the security guard the signal, like, we don't need your help getting to the car. He gave him that, like, back off so I can harass this woman
poor,
gesture.
Like, security guard was like, oh, you're in good hands. No, she's not.
So the photographer, she's trying to score with her by telling her he could book her bigger jobs
if
he wanted.
Yeah.
He's on, like, some Me Too shit. But Ingrid says she doesn't want to play that game with him. He plays dumb. For a moment, then he's like, well, of course I want to sleep with you. I'd be crazy not to want to fuck you. Like, okay. So then Ingrid gets spooked by a noise. We see that there's like shadowy figures with axes.
Yeah, there's like an underneath shot from a car, and we see it's an absolutely pristine, gleaming, never been used axe head. And I do love that, like, this photographer guy was like, you should fuck me for your... it's not for me.
Well, yeah,
it's
yeah,
for
yeah.
your career, which he, like, says multiple times.
And so, inside, the security guard, he gets back upstairs. He sees that Ingrid's left her bag. So, he grabs it, and he hops back down. Back downstairs, the photographer is putting the fucking full court press on
Ingrid.
Does
not care about the noise or anything
He's
else.
Trying, like, every tactic. He's like, I'm not doing this for me. I'm just trying to help you find happiness.
I'm not... it's not like I'm asking you to marry me.
So, yeah, Ingrid realizes that she left her bag inside. The fucking photographer's like, see, you do need me.
That's so weird.
He is persistent. Give him points for that, but he's a fucking dickweed, dude.
Yeah, he's terrible.
So, she looks up to see there's a man standing behind him with a fucking axe.
Oh, okay.
She screams. The warning gives the photographer, like, just enough time to dodge the first swing of the axe. The axe ruptures some pipes and steam comes shooting out.
Atmospheric.
You know, parking decks are well known for their steam pipes.
For their pipes.
But another killer appears. It looks like it's curtains for the photographer, but we don't really see what happened with him.
I feel like we get another down... it's sort of like what happened to the woman in the car. There's a downward slash, and then we hear a scream.
They probably cut out some really gruesome shit.
Yeah.
So... Ingrid runs. Another killer pops out, grabs her. He flings her down on the hood of this car. He goes to swing an axe at her, but it gets like hung up in the pipes.
I can't tell if it's an axe or a sledgehammer, but yeah, it's like, dude, come on.
So water
goes.
They're
not hanging down that low.
I guess they were low enough. But yeah, so this water goes spraying everywhere. Ingrid runs for it.
That's dopey.
This innocent bystander appears, gets axed down.
Yeah, some dude that's working in the law firm on the third floor.
And he's got like a bottle
like,
of champagne and a Christmas gift or something. He fucking gets fucking poor
it
bastard.
It is a Christmas movie after all.
After all. Ingrid frantically hits the buttons for the elevator. The killers are closing in. The elevator door opens and Ingrid begs the security guard for help.
There he is with her bag.
Security guard draws his gun, starts shooting, hitting no one.
Yeah, he's like, he's telling her back. I appreciate the valor of this security guard telling her, like, get back. And he sees the attackers and draws a gun and starts, like, open fire. And she's like, but then she, instead of getting in the elevator, like, she crawls, instead of going back in the elevator and go back in the, I guess, like, couldn't she go to the lobby floor and then run out? Or
the elevator, probably riding up the elevator would have been the way to go, I guess.
That's what
although
I would have
could,
done.
Then you're maybe, I don't know.
Well, she could have ridden up to the top floor and called 911.
That's true. They don't know what floor you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should have done that shit, but
anyway,
instead
she's stupid.
She drops. She crawls off into the parking garage somewhere.
Yeah.
The night slasher, he's back in the van now. He tells the driver, kill her. This is a fucking creepy delivery. The driver rams the van into the security guard.
I don't understand the logic of any of this.
That was the most violent fucking crash I've seen in a while.
Well,
like, that was insane.
Like, kill her. So the dude...
she's not there.
He crushes the security guard's body into a concrete wall and destroys their car.
Yeah, except that they drive away in a second, and I'm like, there's no bullshit.
That doesn't happen. There's no way. At full speed.
Yeah, they were going 30 miles an hour into a brick wall.
At least.
But so, fucking violent death for the heroic security guard.
Yeah, like trying to get off as many rounds as possible to stop the onslaught, but couldn't do it.
So Night Slasher, he gets out, he looks around while Ingrid's hiding. We hear the sound of police sirens growing. The Night Slasher gets back in the van and they drive away. No fucking chance that vehicle's operating.
Really,
anymore.
Really good acting here from Brigitte, like hiding on whatever like down ramp
yeah.
she was. Like,
she had
with the water
some natural talent.
Yeah.
I think she had the same issue that Van Damme and Schwarzenegger had where you got an accent.
But her accent was so slight. It's like almost imperceptible yeah. compared to the two of those guys.
I do. I feel like. Maybe it's when she's doing scenes with Stallone, it's bad.
Yeah.
Well,
he probably
anyway.
Told her to, like, can you make the accent sound worse to make me sound better?
Oh, God. So later on, Ingrid's at the hospital. Cobra and Gonzalez are there. A nurse is being kind of rude to Ingram, I felt like. Did you get that same vibe?
I didn't get that. Because
he was giving her, like, she wanted to give her something that was... And Ingrid's like, I don't want to go
yeah,
to sleep.
So
and the nurse is like, this won't make you sleepy. It's just going to calm you down.
I didn't get bitchy. I got like the nurse is just being like, hey, I thought more like nurse like matter of fact. It wasn't really bitchy.
Maybe
to me.
So, but like this is a victim who's been through some shit tonight.
Yeah, your bedside manner you would hope would be like, if she was an attempted murder victim, then. You'd be a little gentler.
Gonzalez, on the other hand, I thought had great bedside manner.
Yeah,
he was
very
like charming,
relaxed.
And he was making her feel, I think, relaxed. He's questioning her.
We love Gonzalez.
Right. We learn also, this is weird, we learn that he's a sergeant. He's Sergeant Gonzalez. This is Lieutenant Cobretti. Fucking, that's a high rank mm-hmm. for a dude who's like persona non grata on mm-hmm. the force, it seems. Like, lieutenant's fucking, that's high up.
Yeah.
That's like one below captain.
Yep.
Whatever. Anyway, I just thought that was weird that he's like, I never pegged him for a lieutenant.
You would have thought he'd just be detective or something
like
that.
Yeah, he's
like,
he's sergeant best.
Yeah.
But so she says she doesn't understand why this happened. Gonzalez asks her if she can think of anyone who might like be out to get her.
Yeah.
Did you have a fight with anyone? You owe anyone money? You've been around drugs, people who deal drugs, which is fucking kind of rich. With Brigitte and Stallone, like, writing this. I feel like they were around drugs 24/7.
Yeah, they're like, immediately before we shot this scene, in fact.
Yeah, we just
did a bump.
So she says no. She says, but there was someone who scared her earlier that day.
Right.
Wait, what?
Cobra's eyes widen.
Well, this was the same night that she witnessed the murder?
Yep, just a few hours ago.
So the evil woman cop has arrived now. She's watching the interview through the window. She's off the clock already. She's like back in her civilian clothes.
Or on a break. I couldn't tell if she was still in a uniform or what, but she was definitely in the building, eavesdropping on this conversation.
So Ingrid says there was this dude whose van had broken down in the underpass, but mm-hmm. she drove away. Cobra asks her what time it was. She says it was 10. She says it was the main guy, and then there was a couple other guys. But wait, 10 o'clock? She was on her way to the photo shoot at 10 at night?
I thought the same thing. Is like, why?
What time is it even now? This shit's gone crazy.
Because I feel like it's probably 2 a.m. at
That's
this point.
That's real late.
But I think it's probably because this skeezy photographer was like, oh,
let's
do it at 10.
Let's make it late.
Let's make it 10 a.m. so that you have to go home and I can help you home and then we'll fuck.
Have a drink or
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
So I can roofie you.
I could see that. Yeah. Was this like an era where the photographer was the... big deal more than
a
the
lot
model?
Of times a lot of times yeah the photographer was the guy that held the power.
Okay,
because the photographer works for whatever
I don't
mag.
Feel like I can't think of like a single sort of high profile photographer
any
now
Leibowitz.
Yeah, but I feel like even she was from 40 years ago,
but she's still it.
Yeah,
she just
but there's not
she
very
just,
many photographers who are
just
like I the photographer can make your career because
she
I'm
just
the
flew
celebrity.
Out to Ukraine to shoot Zelensky and his wife.
Oh yeah,
for Vogue or Vanity Fair or some shit.
That's cool.
They're on the cover, and I was like,
I
feel like that doesn't send the right message, but it's okay.
They've just got to stay in the public eye,
I guess,
because people do. It's like the tendency to just tune out. Oh, that's still going on.
It's still it going is,
yeah,
on, man,
for sure, dude,
big time.
So Ingrid now says, "Yeah, wait." Cobra asks, "What was going on?" Hold on. Stop everything.
Hit me.
I'm fucked up because so that murder happened. The entire montage, like the woman baddie killing, then going and having a shift at dispatch, then going and like this has all happened in a very I feel like they
three or 4 hours have passed.
I think in my mind they jumbled some scenes around, perhaps.
They had
and this woman saw the murder, then went to the police, and this scene happened. Mm-hmm. And then days later, she was doing the photo shoot, and she was tried to kill. And then, in my mind, there's just no conceivable way this all happens in one night. But
you and I also world, don't do cocaine regularly. So.
That's true. When you're that high, anything is possible.
Oh, my God. We know. It's all in the same night.
Can you imagine how much stuff we did in one day? So, yeah. Cobra wants to know, though, what the guy was doing that scared her.
Right.
Ingrid says he wasn't really doing anything. It was just the way he looked at her. Mm-hmm. Cooper says, would you recognize him again if you saw him? She says, the tall one? He says, yeah, the one that wants to kill you. That's some fucking terrible bedside manner.
It's terrible.
Cobra,
right. It's
like, why do you put it like that?
Yeah, it's like, we're not sure of anything at this point, Cobra.
Elsewhere, Night Slasher sharpening his knife.
Or dulling
again?
It.
Again?
Dulling it. Or he hasn't stopped.
We just saw you sharpening in the montage, which is earlier tonight.
Why is he sweating profusely?
It's hot in there.
I guess. But we've seen the industrial fans. We know there's air circulation.
The female cop, she enters. She says...
She approaches and, like, tenderly touches the back of his head.
That's what I'm saying. It's like she's a soothsayer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
she's
that's
like
the vibe
his,
I was getting
yeah,
from her.
She's his handler.
So she says that the woman knows your face. But I know where she is. I can get her for you.
I can give him to you.
I can give him to you. Night Slasher cuts into his own hand. And
or
he says,
starts to cut off a finger or some shit. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Which probably freaked you out. Because you got
like,
that hand thing.
I don't like that.
But what is it with people cutting their own
she's
hands?
She's mine.
Yes, yeah, she's mine. What is it with people cutting their own hands in movies? That
it's
bothers
like this,
the shit out of me.
This woman has, she's clearly already a member of your cult. There's no reason for you to slice off your own finger to prove anything to her. She's already bought it. She's bought what you're selling, Night Slasher.
Nothing bugs me more than when people like cut their own palms in movies. I'm like, it's like that blood oath, you know, we're
like
taking a blood oath
Robin
situation, whatever.
Peace, I swear it by my own blood. It's like, why?
Why not cut a... I get it, but why not cut something that wouldn't be so inconvenient while it's healing?
Yeah, it's going to get infected, especially in the 13th.
You can't use your hand until it gets
you're
better.
You're screwed.
Like, cut your forearm or something.
Yeah.
Something that you can
or
continue
your calf.
To...
I don't know. I'm with you. I am absolutely with you.
At any rate, though, this is bad news for Ingrid. Because
yeah, we guess.
The Night Slasher has made her like a personal priority of his.
For some reason. But I guess, yeah, because she rolled up
him.
Under the underpass. And that's going to carry the whole plot of the rest of the movie.
Who knows how this cult is picking their victims out.
I think at random. Well, we know it's like...
Until he was stricken by Brigitte's look, maybe. I don't know. It was just like... I guess she's a witness.
Yeah, she
so
rolled up at the
go.
Time, and they knew that, like, if she saw the news report or something, that they were down there under the underpass, she'd be like, oh, wait, I saw that guy.
Yeah.
But...
I saw it happen.
Yeah, but it's still like...
I'm still fucked up on how they found her at the photo studio. Like, within 30 minutes or an hour or something,
doesn't
they
make
were
any
there.
Sense at all.
But there must have been shit happening that we didn't see.
And we may never see until Stallone releases
the
director's cut.
With they'll cut the robots out like they did with the Rocky IV cut.
Originally, it was like Brigitte had a robot sidekick or some shit that was in the whole movie.
Fucking artificial intelligence.
Or that
like
Night Slasher was the robot.
Shit, he was the Terminator.
Oh, my God.
It's a shared universe. No, wait, is that the dude who got... That's the dude who got punched through by the Terminator in... Terminator. Anyway, sorry, we've gone off the deep end, but we will be back. There's a lot more Cobra to talk
stop
about
at this point.
No, I can't believe how crazy this movie is.
Well, it's Stallone, so I can. But
that's true.
But man, it is so hard to believe that it's like that this got greenlit and that Menachem was like, Yeah, this is awesome.
I think they got Stallone on board and they let him run wild.
I do. I think they were like, as long as we've got Coors and Pepsi on board, then this is the golden calf. It's like, we will worship at this altar, my friend.
Okay.
Anyway.
I love it, though, man. I can't wait until next week. We're going to get back with you and tell you everything else about Cobra.
Woo! All right, friends. We'll be back.